Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody. How is everybody doing on this Sunday? Hope everybody doing pretty good. All right, I added the call in number for y'all, so when y'all call in, just press 1 if you have any questions. Y'all hit that like button for me. Go ahead and hit that like button. I really appreciate it. Got 5 people in right now watching the live, so please go ahead and hit that like button for me. As y'all know, we can pretty much talk about anything, but what I want to at least get into first, I would like for somebody to explain to me Title 4D. I think it's the Social Security Act or something like that. I might be wrong, but anyway, it's dealing with the juvenile courts, in which so-called family court or whatever. That's what Title 4D is dealing with. I've done a little research on it. I haven't done much, but it seems, based on the research that I've done, that the courts, the so-called juvenile courts or whatever you want to call them. It seems like that they have a financial interest in this case. It's like they have a financial interest in awarding child support and adjudicating that a child is dependent or something like that. I would need to read that some more, to be honest with you, but it seems like they do, because they never want to really dismiss these cases. Well, at least the case that I was litigating, they never wanted to dismiss the case. I brought up jurisdiction. They never wanted to talk about it. They just ignore it. And now you got to go through all these appeals. Now you got to petition for a writ or some sort like that. Probably got to report them to the, probably file a claim against their bond or file a complaint against them with the division of, not risk management, but what's that? The Alabama Judicial Inquiry Commission. It's just a bunch of stuff. It's just a bunch. They just seem like they just don't want to let this stuff go, and they don't want to dismiss it. Not sure why. Y'all hit that like button for me. Hit the like button for me. Go ahead. Hit that like button for me. Let's see. If you have any questions, call in and press 1, and then we can talk. I get a lot of emails from people, and then when I go live, it's like, nobody who sent me these emails, they're not into this. Like, I don't know what, they just miss it, or I don't know what it is. But anyway, I'll be here for 2 hours answering questions, like always, from time to time. How's everybody been, by the way? I've been all right, just one day at a time. I'm going to pull up. I'm trying to do some research. Somebody, I'm going to see if I can, I don't know if I can add it to the chat, but, I've been working on, I just finished drafting a federal lawsuit, complaint for somebody, I think yesterday. Overall, the complaint is done. I just finished that. I'm working on a writ. A prohibition and a writ of mandamus right now. I just filed 2 appeals, come to think of it. 1 in Alabama and 1 in Oklahoma. So I just been busy, y'all. I'm not really ignoring anybody. I just be really, really busy. So whenever I'm not on here, the best way for y'all to, to get my attention or whatever, or the best way to get in contact with me is to just schedule a consultation. Sometimes I might respond, via email, where you won't have to schedule a consultation, but if you see that I'm not going to respond, I'm just busy and I haven't responded, then just go ahead and book a consultation. I have no choice, since you so-called paid me, I have no choice but to contact you, and then we can schedule the consultation on when it would be a good time for me to call you. Let's see. juvenile court. Does anybody know how to I've been trying to figure out how to add the file button in my Facebook page, Facebook group page, so I can upload files there that I draft so people who follow my page can see the format of how this stuff looks so that they can just, you know, either copy and paste it or just fill in the blank, something like that. But I can't figure out how to add the file section on my Facebook group page. Does anybody here know how to do that? I've been looking for videos for it on YouTube, but I can't find it. I can't find it at all. Let's see. Y'all press 1 when you call in. Hit that like button for me, y'all. Y'all hit that like button. Hit the like button, hit the like button, hit the like button. All right, let's see what we got. The call-in number is in the chat, y'all. Just press 1, and I'll get to you as soon as I can. I'm trying to find this paper. This paper. Is anybody litigating any cases right now? Any in federal court, state court, any cases? I got a lot going on over here. I'm getting ready to file a, these two writs. I'm drafting writs right now, and I'm getting ready to file them probably next week. These, like, y'all, these people will wear you out. When you know what you're doing, these people will wear you out. They just hate us, man. They don't want to give you any type of credence to anything that you draft and file in court. They just want to make it look like you don't know what you're doing. But my paperwork is flawless. It's flawless. Prohibition, where is it? I'm gonna see if I can find that case. There was a case. I know a lot of people, some people in Alabama, they're having issues with juvenile court. I think they don't really understand what's going on in juvenile court. It's a lawsuit that's going on. That's what's going on. Somebody filed a lawsuit against you. I know that sometimes it's a custody dispute or where a child is being alleged to be dependent or abused or something like that, or they might be filing for visitation, something like that. And they do that too, but what y'all need to understand is these are commercial courts, okay? These so-called courts are corporations. They have EIN numbers and they have DUNS numbers. And these legislative courts, they don't have judicial authority. They have zero judicial authority. They'll never tell you that, but they don't have judicial authority. I wonder, can anybody hear me? Can y'all hear me? If you can hear me, press 1. I'm not even sure if y'all can hear me. Let me see something. Press 1 if you can hear me. I might have some issues with my sound. Okay. So you can hear me. Okay. All right. Appreciate that, Keena. Appreciate that. Y'all hit that like button for me. I said it like 5 times and ain't nobody hit the like button. 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 Oh, boy. Y'all can do y'all see the call-in number in the chat? I'm going to put it in there again because I've had so many people ask me when I'm going live again, and then when I go live, they ain't nowhere. And then when I come off here, they right back sending me messages. It's crazy, y'all. It's crazy. That's not it. How your let me put it in there. I'm gonna put the number back into the chat. Hey Kenneth, how's your I think I talked to you a while back. How's your case been going? I think you were trying to find the bonds for the a judge or something like that out of Indiana, I believe. I could be wrong, but I think it was Indiana. They just denied the writ of surgery. Oh, boy, they get on my nerves. They get on my, I can't stand these folks. Get on my nerves. Well, what did they, do you know the reason that they denied what they really, I mean, a writ of surgery, it's really discretionary, for real. So they'll just deny it. They don't even have to tell you why. You go through all of this paperwork, you know, go through all of this time and energy and drafting this paperwork, and they send your ass back a one-page, one-sentence order. Probably won't even be one sentence. It'll just be denied, and they'll put a period on it or something like that, and that's just be it. Now you're like, what the fuck? What can I do now? It's the type of stuff that they do. Yeah, that's what they do. I had a, I was talking to a woman a couple weeks ago. She was wondering what happened with her case. So she had, long story short, she had an attorney or whatever, and she ended up losing in the trial court, and so she filed an appeal. Do you know how much this woman's appeal was? She told me she paid $40,000 for an appeal. $40,000. I thought she meant $4,000. She said no. $40,000. That's ridiculous. Not only that, guess what they did? They sent her ass back a one-page, one-sentence order denied. Now she appealed to have I forgot what she appealed for, but it cost her $40,000 and it got denied. That's ridiculous, man. It was a piece of paper that said denied. That's crazy. That's crazy, man. Crazy. Now, Kenneth, when you appealed that case, did you do it under a statute? The reason why I'm asking is because when you file an appeal, like, for example, when the Supreme Court is exercising appellate jurisdiction via a statute, then that so-called Supreme Court is, as a matter of law, an inferior court. It's a legislative court. Yes, retainer fee for a federal attorney is between $10,000 and $20,000. That's crazy. That's the reason why that they don't give people like me or people who really know what they're doing in court any type of credence or give their paperwork any credit because of these prices right here. Because if you could come to me and I'll do it cheaper and I'll do a better job, then they're going to lose money. And I know what I'm doing. They don't want y'all to do that, man. That you can't appeal the Supreme Court. Nah, you can't. Well, something really needs to be done about this, man. The people really need to wake up and start supervising their courts. Because there's only one branch of government that I know that can check all three branches of government, and that is the people. Because the people are a coordinate department of the government. If you think I'm lying, then why, if you don't believe me, then why do they solicit your permission, the people's permission all over the country to change the Constitution, to amend the Constitution? Why do they do that? They do that because they can't do it. They need permission to do it. That's crazy, man. Did you file it yourself, Kenneth, or did you hire an attorney? Let me check the phone lines right quick. All right, I got somebody on the line. I'll get back with you in a minute, Kenneth. Good afternoon, caller 7332. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. How you doing, my brother?
I'm good, man. I'm good. One day at a time. You know how it go, man. One day at a time.
So my question is, I want to know, because I know you sued the police and you got your win. Now, how would one go about suing the Title IV agency or the director for different type of violations?
I think somebody asked me this question before.
That's me.
Oh, that was you. Okay.
That's me.
I don't really have a sound answer for you because I've never done that. But I mean, I would think that you can sue them because they are public servants.
Yeah.
I don't see why you can't sue them. I mean, you can sue a we all know you can sue a prosecutor, a judge, a police officer, a sheriff, a warden, a correctional officer. You know, we all know you can sue them. So I don't see why you can't sue them. But I think a better question would be this. I guess this would kind of help me answer the question. What would be the purpose for you filing a lawsuit against them?
Oh, that's easy. There's several different violations that they commit by having. So they violate due process. The DOJ letter came out in 2013, and one came out in 2023. Well, they don't have an ability to pay hearing for whether it's a license or a levy or whatever the case may be. They don't do any of that stuff. They don't. That's one. The other violations is the Fifth Amendment. It's like it's cruel, unusual punishment. There's no other program in the world that has a person, a.k.a. non-custodial parent, under such scrutiny to where they can have all different type of levies and things imposed upon them with no real reason for the mere fact of them being in the program itself or being sued by the custodial parent for the program. There's never no evidence, so it's a frivolous claim.
You must be I'm sorry to cut you off, but this sounds like you're in an administrative here. I mean, all of it is administrative, but it
yeah.
sounds like this is some type of administrative board or something like that.
Yeah.
That you are up against. That's what it sounds like to me. Would that be correct?
Yeah. And I'm just trying to figure out.
No, you can't sue them. Yeah. I mean, if you can sue a. For example, like you can sue a guardian ad litem for the Department of Human. Well, in Alabama, they call it the Department of Human Resources. That's who prosecutes cases against parents for child abuse and stuff like that. In other places, they might call it CPS. So I don't see why that you couldn't, because they're public servants, even though it's an administrative board. But I would seem to think that you could sue them because they're public servants. I don't see why not.
So, I know that you can sue them, and
mm-hmm.
I'm looking at the 93 of what you did the police for. I'm trying to figure out, because a lot of people who filed them beforehand have always lost it to failure for their claim for which release can be granted. That's usually the issue, or they never even threshold of where the damages would be over $75,000.
Okay, well, let me answer that question for you. That all of that stuff is easy. You don't let these people determine how much you believe your time is worth. Or like, for example, I don't care if a damn police officer detains me unlawfully detains me for 5 minutes on the side of the road. I'm going to sue his ass, and I'm going to demand more than $75,000. I mean, just because you demand it don't mean you're going to get it. You feel me?
Yeah.
But you got to demand it, though, because it's that $75,000, they call it a jurisdictional amount or something. I think it's called a jurisdictional amount. So ask for 75 or more. The other thing was, I think you said people, it's hard for them to get over the, to basically properly plead their case, or so to speak. I think that's what you were trying to say.
Yeah, the phase for which relief can be granted.
When you drafting your complaint, think of it like this. Think of it as you met this woman, and you're about to get ready to ask her to marry you. But y'all been dating for probably about 2 or 3 years. But you want to write her a letter, and in that letter, you don't talk about none of the bad shit that happened in the letter, all of the good shit.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I know that's a little confusing for you, but when you're drafting your lawsuit against them, you only talk about everything that is relevant to proving your point. Just like when I just said, if you want to write this letter to this woman who you're about to marry, you write everything in this letter that's relevant to letting her know that you love her and you want to be with her. That's just an example. So, for example, let's say that this is a Fourth Amendment violation. So you would allege in the complaint, no criminal charges have been filed against you so far. That's if they didn't file the criminal charges against you. Let me see. What else? That the defendant, he or she punched you in the face or something like that. I would have to read over my case to give you a better example. I'm trying to freestyle and I can't freestyle it. But
no, listen, brother, you're being honest, so I appreciate that.
I don't want to confuse you, because I know how to say it in their language, but if I do it in their language, it's probably going to confuse you. And I don't want to do that. So I'm trying to, no offense, but I'm trying to dumb it down and just make it as simple as possible. So, I'm going to read my complaint. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to read my complaint that I drafted. I'm going to tell you the cause of actions for it. And then I'm going to tell you why I made this allegation in the complaint. Where is it at? Is this it? I think this is an old one.
Let me ask you this question. From start to finish, how long did it take you to get to the settlement stage?
Say it again.
I said from start to finish, how long did it take you to get to the settlement part?
I think I filed it in January of 2021, and I want to say, I think it was about 18 months. Yeah, because we settled in June. Yeah, we settled in June. Man, most of that stuff is just, like, you're going through discovery, depending on how complex the case is. You might be going through discovery for about 6 months to 2-3 years. It just depends.
Oh, wow.
You know, I only went through discovery for probably about maybe 6 months, maybe. And when I say going through discovery, meaning, you might send them some requests for admissions or some interrogatories or some requests for productions, or you might have to go do a deposition, you know, stuff like that. And they have to answer it. When you send them something, they have to answer it within 30 days. But these people, they like to play games with you. So you might ask for something. Like, for example, I asked for, a discovery question. I asked them was if they had any indemnification agreements to cover these expenses if they lose this case or something like that. I said something similar to that. And so they gave me their insurance. They gave me the a copy of their insurance because they had insurance. But they intentionally excluded a relevant portion of the insurance policy that I needed. And I would have never known that until I had to go through all of this paperwork just to see, okay, they left something out. They didn't do that. It wasn't a mistake, is what I'm trying to say. They knew what the hell they was doing.
Yeah.
So they just,
of course,
these are types of games that they play. But let me see. Okay, so the fact section here it is right here. So when you drafting this complaint, like for example, you say if you know which time and which date it happened, you need to put that in the complaint. The reason why you need to put that in the complaint is because on this particular day and that particular time, that is going to place that police officer right where you made the allegation that you said she or he was. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. But my case, mine was like this. Plaintiff was heading home from work when his automobile shut off as it was still in motion. Said highway had no shoulder to safety park. I'm being very descriptive, but saying only what is necessary. Because you have to provide context to how you were thinking at the time when all of this stuff was happening for the court to better understand the situation. In an attempt to not block or cause a wreck from ongoing and coming traffic, plaintiff managed to successfully park and minimize as much of the hazard as he could. Blah blah blah. But let's get to the this was an unlawful detention lawsuit. So let's see. Plaintiff then gets out of his automobile and turned the bright light from his cell phone on to warn oncoming and ongoing traffic of the hazard. See how simple this shit is? You're saying exactly what happened, but if it's not relevant, you don't talk about it.
Gotcha.
About 5 to 10 minutes later, a Chickasaw police car, a police officer by the name of Brandon Breland flashes his police lights, stops his patrol car, and then exits. Breland then walks over to plaintiff and requests plaintiff's ID. Plaintiff replied, "For what?" Breland then replied, "Because you broke down in the middle of my highway." That statement right there proves why the police officer asked me for my ID. That's why I said it. I know that is not a crime. That's also another reason why I said it. That's not a crime. So that lets me know right then and there that he doesn't have reasonable suspicion or probable cause to ascertain my name based on what he just said right then and there. Does that make sense to you?
Makes sense to me.
Okay, so since he doesn't have reasonable suspicion or probable cause to ascertain my name, I just told him no. And that was it. He got upset though. He thought that because I didn't want to, you know, identify myself and give him any ID or anything like that, that I had something to hide. That's what he thought. But anyway, plaintiff declined to give Breland his ID, but did give Breland his first name. Blah blah blah. Let's see. If you have any questions, just let me know, and I'll answer them. I'll do my best to answer them. About 5 to 10 minutes later, two more police officers by the last name of Holyfield and Doe of the Chickasaw Police Department arrived in their police cars. Plaintiff was then approached as his back was against the automobile, surrounded by Holyfield, Breland, and Doe, and demanded to show his ID once again in a more aggressive tone. Plaintiff then saw an officer with his hand on his gun at this time, and at this point, was certain he was not free to leave. The reason why I'm making these allegations is there are court cases that tell you are arrested. It's really an arrest. It's an arrest. And they call it a non-custodial arrest, but your ass is arrested because you're not free to leave. So anytime the police officer stops you or whatever, and you are not free to leave, you are arrested. So based on everything that I had saw these police officers doing, I reasonably concluded based on those facts of what I just witnessed that I was not free to leave because they have this thing called a reasonable person. Would a reasonable person not feel free to leave or something like that? You might see it in a couple of court cases. The more cases you read, the better you'll get at drafting this complaint. All of this stuff is easy.
I'm not really saying anything that you don't really know about. I'm just doing it in a strategic way. And gotcha. I'm letting the court know that this was an unlawful detention, even though it was an arrest. But anyway, let me see. Plaintiff then replied for what? Plaintiff was then grabbed in an aggressive manner by his arms, as both arms were forced behind his back. Plaintiff was then handcuffed, searched about his person, and then informed that he was being detained. Blah, blah, blah. Now, there was some other stuff that happened this night, but it's not relevant. Yeah. So I didn't even talk about it. I just act like it didn't even happen. And if they brought it up, I just objected to it. This is irrelevant. Why are we talking about this? It has nothing to do with this complaint. Nothing. Because that's what they're going to do. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. So my question is, from my knowledge, is I think that you filed a complaint, you served the parties or whatever case may be. They either filed an answer to it, or they file a motion to dismiss. Most of the time, from what I understand, it's to kind of claim some type of judicial or procedural immunity. And then from that point on, how do you get past the immunity part to even go forward with everything else to put them in a position where they have to sweat?
Yeah, I should have told you that. I told you that, but I didn't tell you that. So how you... You have to plead facts that show a clearly established, constitutionally protected right has been violated. That means that whoever this judge is or whatever, as soon as they get this complaint and they read over these allegations, they're going to go, yep, they violated his rights. He's got a claim. They don't have immunity. That's what you got to do. They never filed a motion to dismiss in my case because they would have lost. That's why they didn't file it. Yeah, he filed what is called a shotgun pleading. A shotgun pleading violates the pleading rules. The reason why it's called, the reason why it violates the pleading rules is because it confuses you. Their answer makes no sense. It makes zero sense. So I actually called him about this. Their attorney, I called him about this. I'm like, I said, man, what is this? I don't understand this. What is this? Because it doesn't make any sense. I'm on the phone pleading with this man. I'm like, look, man, can you just withdraw this answer and just file an amended answer or something like that? I won't object to it. He says, no, I'm not filing another one. I said, all right, man, I ain't got time for that. So the reason why you have to do that is because if you don't, they're going to get immunity. They're going to automatically assume that they are entitled to qualified immunity because you didn't plead facts to show that they violated the clearly established right of which a reasonable officer would have known. That's what they. I'm quoting you court cases off the top of my head.
Gotcha.
That's how you do. Gotcha. There's a video on my YouTube channel called "How to Defeat Qualified Immunity" or "How to Beat Qualified Immunity." It's on my YouTube channel. It's two of them. That's how you beat qualified immunity at the pleading stage. They have a chance. They have another opportunity to raise qualified immunity again, but that's after discovery has ended, meaning I only got like 6 months to do discovery. There was a date on when discovery would start and when it would end, and then once it ended, then they had the chance to raise qualified immunity again because they had enough evidence, where they may or may not have enough evidence to assert the defense of qualified immunity.
Yeah. That makes sense. No, that makes sense, my brother.
It's not hard, bro. I promise you it's not hard. It is not hard. But you're going to have to read cases. Once you understand that, I mean, you can, if they don't have a video, they just fucked up. Pardon my language. But if they don't have a video, whatever you say happened. I mean, they're going to dispute it, but your case would then go to the jury for the decide if it actually happened. Well, whatever you're saying in your case, I'm not telling you to lie, but whatever you're saying in your case, you need to make sure that it is something believable, meaning that if you were sitting on that jury and a plaintiff brought this case to you, would you believe the plaintiff's story about what she or he is saying that happened? Would you believe that? If you can sell that story to the jury and the jury believes you, you're going to win.
Mm. Okay.
The truth does not matter in court. You like it. I promise you, it don't matter. It just does not matter unless you got it on video. Yeah. Then it might matter then.
Yeah.
If you don't have it on video, you just. Mm-mm. But I'm just to answer your question again. In order for you to beat qualified immunity, you have to plead facts in your complaint that show a clearly established constitutionally protected right of which a reasonable officer would have known about has been violated. That's exactly what I did in my case. The reason why I put that the phrase when he said because you're broke down in the middle of my highway, that's not a crime. And a reasonable officer would know that. A reasonable officer would not have done what these idiots did because they know that that violates clearly established constitutionally protected rights, of which a reasonable officer would have known. That's all you're doing. That is all you're doing. You just plead if they violated your Fourth Amendment, you plead facts to show that they violated the Fourth Amendment based on these facts right here. Here you go, Your Honor. Look at this and review this. Yep, they violated it. We're gonna go ahead and set this off. Defendant's answer is due in 30 days or something like that. And they either got to answer the complaint or they're going to file a motion to dismiss. They're going to do something. They better do something or they're going to get a default judgment.
You ain't lying. Well, nah, bro, I appreciate you. What I'm going to do is I'm going to buy your ebook. And I'm pretty sure within that ebook, almost all the steps are similar, look almost all the same when it comes to everything. And I'll be getting with you on how to just word some things. But I definitely appreciate you.
No problem, man. No problem. Thank you for calling in, man. Good luck.
You too. Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Sorry about that. I'll be rambling all over the place sometimes. Let me get back to the chat. If you have any questions, just press 1 and I'll turn your microphone on and we can just go from there. He thought, yes, black man knows nothing about the law. He thought... What is that? Let me see what that is. Okay, so Kenneth, you had did you have an attorney, Kenneth? Y'all hit that like button for me, please. Hit the like button. Hit the like button. Let's see. So what type of questions do I need to answer, y'all? Because I'm not sure how good that I answered the gentleman's question that was on the phone. I try to do it in a way that I don't confuse anybody because I know just me telling you that you need to plead facts to show a clearly established constitutionally protected right has been violated, of which a reasonable officer would have known. You're like, what the hell is he talking about? But it's easy, y'all. In order for you to know how to do that, you need to know when your rights are violated, meaning you need to know your rights. If you don't know your rights, you don't have any rights. I promise y'all, I drafted my lawsuit. I know y'all probably heard me say this, and I'm not bragging or anything like that, so please don't take it that way, but I drafted my lawsuit against these police officers in my head on the side of the street. I knew I was going to sue them. I knew they didn't have a lawful purpose for trying to ascertain my name. I knew they didn't have a lawful purpose to arrest me. Mm-mm, get back in that room. In the room. In the room. What I told you. Yeah, I know you do. I know you do. I know you do. I'm live. I know my phone is locked. Bathroom door is open. What else? Sorry about that, y'all. But my little minion back there. My little minion back there just be trying me. So sometimes I got to go back in there and just, you know, let them know, hey, look, I'm the boss. I'm the boss. Don't be doing that. I'm going to whoop your butt. Anyway, I
forgot what I was saying. Give me 1 second, y'all. I'll be right back. I just can't win for lose. I can't keep my house clean, y'all. Just messing up the house every time, every chance I get. It's just something about a clean house and kids. They just, when they see the house clean, they just go. I don't know what it is. Anyway, let me get back, make sure I ain't missing no phone. Okay. All right, caller 0990, you're on the line. How you doing?
Hey, what's up, Lop?
What's good, man?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, it sounds like Kenneth.
Yeah, it's me, yeah.
Oh, what's good, man?
Yeah. Oh, man, just hanging in there, trying to recover and reset myself for the next lawsuit I'm going to bring against Title 4D.
Man, yeah. How long have you been studying Title 4D?
It's been, well, you know, I originally started not really studying but looking into it back in 2005 when my son was born. Well, I would say probably around 2006 because you just don't know anything about it. You just know they sent you a letter, and it wasn't even a summons, a letter saying, come to court, you're being not even sued. They don't use those words. It's saying that, you know, you have to pay child support, so you have a court date. I'm like, okay, so you go on in, you know, and then you start to deal with it, you know. And mine started after me and my ex-wife divorced, but we actually separated. But see, the thing about it is with mine, because I'm in Indiana, we did our own divorce, and then she signed the paperwork, I signed it, we filed it. Everything was good. Then I got a letter from the child support enforcement about 6 months later saying that the state of Indiana was intervening. I'm like, what? You know, this is done. You know, she didn't ask for nothing. She went her own way. I went my own way, and everything was good.
Hey,
we didn't have
a kid.
We had not got together. Right. But see, we got back together afterwards, after the divorce was done. But to make a long story short, for the beginning part, they struck down my case and that original divorce that we had signed together and used their own case number to file a whole new case on me. But so to move forward, what the Supreme Court case was about was that the appeals court, after they had arrested me, now, mind you, in 2000, I've never been in jail in my life, okay, 52 years old, and all of a sudden from the age of 51, I went to jail 3 times within inside a 3-year period. Okay, so what happened was I sued them for the arrest that they made on me in, of course, you know, rules to show cause hearings regarding the child support. Okay, and I didn't find out later, you know, like you asked me just now, how long I've been studying Title 4D until really around about, I read up on it, but actually studying the law like yourself was around 2015-16, where I really was like, what in the hell? You know, it opens your eyes up when you start seeing the truth.
Yeah, you really got to study this stuff, man. You really have to sit down and be like, you know what, I can't afford no attorney. Ain't no telling how much that's going to cost.
Right, right.
Let me do this shit myself. That's how they get you.
They just
force you to do it yourself, and you just,
that's
when you learn everything, man.
Exactly. Yeah, that's how you learn everything, because the attorney, I know now, because over the last 18 years, I've had 2 attorneys, which ended up, I drive trucks for a living. They ended up canceling on me. I'm like, what the hell? When you make a late payment or anything like that, they discard your butt with no problem. Okay, so just to get back to the case, they in this rule to show cause hearing, that was the first time was in 2017, where she arrested me on direct contempt. This is after I started to study the law, and I realized, okay, let me go on and put this to a test in my first court hearing, okay? Lot, that didn't go well, okay? So have you ever heard of subrogation?
I've heard of the term before, yeah.
Yeah. And what that is where it's basically insurance. We all know these cases are about insurance and taxes that they've not paid on the case they have monetized on you. So they're getting you to pay the taxes on it through so-called arrears and things like that. Arrears is not really about the state lending the mom money when she was doing bad, like food stamps and family. That's not what it's about. It's about taxes that they've made off of their case, and now they got to pay taxes on it, and they want your butt to pay for it.
Wow.
So what happened was I brought that to their attention, and I said, I'm demanding my rights of subrogation, which puts you in the place of that all capital name they have on that paperwork. They looked at me like I had a hole in my damn head. That's how this got started. And she said, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? I said, ma'am, you know exactly what I'm talking about. That capital name that you have on your paper, it has no rights. But the flesh and blood man in front of you, I have rights. And I said, in saying that, I'm going to demand all the securities off of this case. I want this case dismissed, and I want you to, I want proof of this debt also if you don't dismiss this case. Man, she said, you sit down and shut up. She literally said, sit down and shut up.
You asking her to vet to verify the debt. That's what you asked. She can't do it. Ain't no damn money.
Yeah.
She can't do it.
Exactly. And she found me in direct contempt. They locked me up for 7 days. The second time was when I went in 2019. I went to court. They arrested me because I failed to make a payment specifically on a Friday. And again, I was on the road. And the call-in line that you call in to make to pay money, I only have an American Express. They don't take that. They do now, but they didn't back then.
Man.
So when they got back in court in the rule of show cause hearing, she said, we want to find him in contempt of court, and we want to go ahead and put him in jail. Okay, so they held me in jail for about 24 hours that time, and I paid the $250 PERS bond to get out. Now, the third time I'm very fluent in the law at this point, okay? So I filed de novo review, which is where the judge reviews the case, and he's supposed to look at the case of the facts.
Yeah, you like to get in a whole other trial.
He didn't review nothing. I kept on telling him. He said, well, we're here today on a rule of show cause hearing regarding failure to pay child support. I said, with all due respect, Your Honor, that's not what I'm here for. I want an order written, and I also want you to sign that dismissal, return all of my money from the de novo review that I sent to you 2 months before this court date even came. He said, if you say it again, I'm going to give you 6 months for direct contempt of court. They kept trying to force me into arguing what they wanted to argue about.
Man, he can't do it. I can't stand these.
He did. Yeah, he did. He did. And I've done 2 months in jail. 2 months in Hamilton County, Indiana. I've been 2 months in jail until we filed a small claims on them, and they immediately let me out within 7 days after that small claims was filed. Now, I'm going to jump ahead. We got the first complaint done with the Southern District of Indiana, and her name is Tanya Pratt, the chief judge, and she's a black woman. They claim I failed to state a claim, yada, yada, yada. But what was interesting, Locke, was that she quoted this case where she's able to screen the complaint before it, anything else takes place and dismiss it if they find it frivolous. Now, I have evidence, everything, the orders that they used to lock me up, everything. And do you know that they still dismiss it before I got everybody served?
Did you pay the filing fee?
Oh, yes, I did, sir. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
I don't think you had discretion to do that then, because that's how they do it on the federal level.
Well,
when you file
no,
the federal lawsuit.
They did. They did. They did. They never answered any questions. And what also was interesting is that when I filed the writ of certiorari, they tried to play me dirty. they didn't send them any of the file from the appeals court. I mean, from the appeals court, not from the appeals court, but from when the district court was supposed to send the appeals court my entire file when I filed the appeal. She retyped in her own words, "Lock what happened," and did not send any of the original paperwork at all.
Well, these folks, you know, see, this, when they do stuff like this, I'm serious. Yeah. Like, some people might not like what I'm about to say, but when they do stuff like this, like, all gloves off now. Like, we are playing by the rules is just over with. Like, you need to, it's time for people to just be like, you know what, okay, I try to do this the right way. Y'all don't want to follow y'all own rules. So I'm finna come down and I'm gonna go to your ass at the office because you want to play a game. You think this shit is a fucking game. You think this is a game. So now, I got to physically put my hands on you to show you. This ain't a fucking game. This you a public
And the thing about it is, man, they almost ruined my life, Locke. They almost ruined my life, man. My youngest child, mom. They would have ruined me, man. She kept my car payments up for me, my credit card payments up for me, every damn thing. They would have ruined me, man. They would have ruined me. And the appeals court, I'm going to tell you right now, the appeals court and the Supreme Court are in on it, too. Because when I went back and looked at the biography for that chief judge, she was a former family court judge. Yep.
They are all in cahoots, man. These folks have a monopoly over this. That's why they do. That's why they did what they did to you, because they don't want people to know that you are right and that you know what you are doing, because they gonna lose money. If y'all think I'm playing,
well,
these folks gonna lose money.
When I look up what does the denial of the Supreme Court mean exactly, it gives several meanings to it. But the one I found most interesting, because I had a powerful case. All my paperwork was on point. My team, we researched stuff like crazy every day. And it said that if a case will send sweeping, basically the case was so strong, it would have had just major implications across the board. So they essentially, attorney would have went back themselves and just been filing like crazy. Attorney would be rich within inside 6 months, because what in the Supreme Court we mentioned the Turner versus Rogers hearing, where they are required, mandatory, it's well settled law, to give you that hearing, a trial by jury, before they incarcerate you or take any money out of your check. And the Supreme Court ignored their own law that they wrote. And it said that it would have just sweeping, basically it wouldn't be status quo anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's exactly what they're doing. You are exactly right. That is exactly what they're doing. That's why they don't want to, that's why they tried to hide the overturning of Roe v. Wade. Because initially it was being hit.
You're right. That's crazy, man.
That's what they told you.
The Supreme Court is on the take. And if Clarence Thomas owned yachts and taking money from billionaires, Supreme Court is gone. It's gone. It's gone. And let me tell you this. And I'm glad I almost forgot it. And I'd have been pissed at myself if I'd have got off this phone and I told you. When my case went to the Supreme Court, okay, I'm waiting. I'm like, where is the decision? Ain't nobody told me they received my file. No, nothing. Locke, some African guy mailed me all three of my briefs back to me. Okay? I said, what the hell is this? He was in federal prison. Filed three briefs, okay? Three. He was in federal prison. He mailed them back to me. I called the Supreme Court immediately and said, what in the hell is going on? And the quote that
they
assigned
somebody
was
a brief and told them to give
you. Thank you.
And these folks
thank
crazy.
You. Because they wanted to act like they lost them. Now, what I believe happened is that they sent them to all three of the attorneys that were working for the AG's office to let them know what happened and how to tackle it ahead of time. Because it was three briefs and three attorneys. I said, wow. And then they had me redo them all over again.
Dude, it's amazing what these people, the steps that these people would go through just to maintain the status quo. Yep. That's why I made that video with Arnold V. Kemp, the guy who's suing all these judges in Georgia, a couple of judges in Georgia, and he's saying that they don't have immunity because of the social
right,
because of the Constitution. He's right. They don't have immunity. How you gonna be a, how are you gonna have immunity and be a judge at the same? I don't see it. Not to,
right.
To,
that's crazy. You basically were a murder case wouldn't even matter because you can just do whatever you want to do. But
as long as you do it on the bench, like you just gonna be a mere like
do
that's
you
basically
do.
That's basically what judicial immunity is. Judicial immunity is almost impossible to beat. I don't know if y'all ever read any case. I've read plenty of cases on it. And it's almost impossible to be. Like, it's just that hard to be. They let them fold
because they refuse to acknowledge the Supreme Court and the Appeals Court. When I submitted some evidence with all of my paperwork and filings, they conveyed an answer, not one damn question, Locke, not one. Not one. And they ignored the child support Title 4D contract that I stapled to the complaint as evidence. They didn't answer nothing.
I can't stand these folks. I hate them. They get on my damn
man. They didn't answer nothing. So right now, me and my people are going to file a RICO act against them because what they did, I've been making filings since 2019. They have not answered anything but one filing. All the serious filings, they won't even touch it.
They don't want people to file
a RICO case demanding all my money back from all my employers that I've been with since 2014. So we're going to put them in there, too, on top of the judge, the prosecutors. Everybody is going in there this time because my one job, I'm in a new job now. My one employer in Canton, Michigan, when I sent them in a notice of intent to sue or return all of my money that they took out of my check from all of these orders that are not signed by a judge. 45 days later, they fired me. They fired me. So we're going to get them for wrongful termination also. But no, they are corrupt beyond belief, man.
Yeah, the only way you'll know this is you had to go through this stuff for yourself to find out. Just go in there and just start asking questions that these attorneys are not going to ask. They ain't going to do it.
They can't ask them. Their first duty is to the court.
This is all, you're right.
This is all
business, man. They hiding behind these names, state of Alabama, state of Florida, state of Mississippi, state of Indiana, juvenile court of whatever, juvenile court of Indiana, juvenile court of Georgia. These are all corporations, y'all.
All corporations,
all corporations.
And you know what I tell people? When you are driving in these small towns and you happen to look on the side of the road and you see that sign that says, like, Johnstown, at the bottom it'll say INC.
Uh-huh.
That means incorporated. It's a corporation.
Some of them do say incorporated, the corporate limits of whatever city.
Yeah,
some of
exactly.
them do say it's a corporation.
And people... people don't know that. People don't know it. So, and you know what? I don't know if it's possible because you out here doing your thing, too. If you give me your email, Locke, I can send you some information, man, that'll blow your mind, and I got a shitload of it.
Man, I'm going to put it in my – I'm going to give you my email right now. I'm going to put Smart Locs.
Good. It's going to blow your mind. It's going to blow your mind. I got a ton of it that's going to aid and assist you. Because anybody who's out here who has enough guts to go up against these damn devils, I'm with them.
That's what it's
going
to be.
What is going on has got to stop. It's got to stop, man. I mean, I was scared, man. I mean, I thought my credit was going to be crap. I mean, I'm still to this day, granted, my youngest boy's mother kept me. She wrote on me. You know, she kept everything for him, man. Now, I asked myself, what would have happened if had I went to that hearing and nobody knew I was in jail? Because you don't know anybody's number no more. All your numbers, you don't memorize them like you would back in the day. They all in your cell phone.
Yeah, everything in your cell phone. Everything.
Yeah. I had a dog at home. It would have been dead. My car would have been sitting there. My nothing.
These for that. These, boy, did they make it so hard? Just they these folks really make it hard for you to try to do this peacefully because it's all a game to these people.
Yeah,
it's really all a game.
Well, you know, the people that I've gotten to know, some quite a few lawyers, some other people that have assisted me through this and things like that, from things that I did not understand, you know, and they helped me through this right now. That's when I seen your channel, you know, I hooked up with your channel and everything, because this is something you cannot do on your own. The level of anxiety and stress you will endure, you're going to need somebody there.
You're right. You are absolutely right. You're going to be, man, look.
Yeah.
These folks, they will wear you out. Y'all hear me?
They will wear
you out.
Yeah. That they will gaslight you, make you think the laws don't exist, all of that. And let me say this to people, whoever's listening. When they tell you it's the law, they are talking about their statutes and codes. You need to find a federal law that rebuts what they're saying. Federal law trumps their state local laws. And I'm going to send you this case, probably already got it, where it says statutes and codes are not law.
It's probably a Louisiana case, I think. I saw it. I think I saw it in there, but I didn't really see that citation within the case, if we're talking about the same case. But
Believe me, I'm going. There's plenty of them. What I'm gonna send you again, it's gonna blow your mind. It's just a ton of information that I've gained since around 2015, 2016.
Yeah, I believe you. I'm not gonna tell you. I know statutes are not laws. Statutes are public policy. All corporations have a policy. Not only that, I found a case because I've been trying to figure out what the hell is public, what does that mean? And I found the case that basically said that it really ain't no definition to it. It's just whatever. They being very, very, very obscure about what they mean by public policy. And I'm here to tell you right now, public policy, in my opinion, is corporate policy. All corporations.
It's like going to Burger King and McDonald's. Mm-hmm. Burger King cannot enforce McDonald's policy and vice versa. No authority over you at all.
I didn't mean to cut you off, but I wanted to say this before I forgot.
Oh, no, go ahead.
I read a case where they were saying all statutes or all legislation, I think it was all legislation, is territorial.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now if all legislation is territorial, how do you have jurisdiction over me if all legislation is territorial? Because you're not sovereign. They're not sovereign.
Yeah.
So
statutes and codes only apply to government officials only. I got that case too.
I believe. I promise you, I believe all that stuff, man. This is why they're making this stuff so obscure. Like you can't. They're not disclosing to you everything that you need to know. They're not doing their job. Basically, the judiciary is not doing their job.
Nowhere close. Because I heard you talk about that lady who paid $40,000 and they denied it. Oh my man, I got so mad just now.
It was. It was a motion that she had filed. Like she was trying to get the appeals court to issue an order staying proceedings. It was something like that. But it's just the fact that you paid $40,000 for that. I could have did that.
Right.
It was like 10 times less than that, you know. Saved you so much money. Like, it's crying. And then I read over the paper. I'm like, what is this?
We've been made to believe that these attorneys are on your side, and they're not.
Man, they're all working
duty.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, when in my case, in the appeals court, they quoted this case back to me because you spoke earlier regarding a police officer should have known before what he did. They quoted back in this case that a police officer, when they arrested me in the courtroom, they quoted this case, and I'll find it for you, that said any time a judge orders an officer to make an arrest, he is to follow that order. I said, wow. We knowing damn well, and they admitted in my claim against them that I had a case for the warrant, not having a warrant or probable cause, but they said when a judge orders somebody to do it, essentially they're saying the Constitution is non-void.
I think,
and we know that.
I don't believe that because that, I mean, that essentially
No, not one bit. But yet they wouldn't respond. But we filed other paperwork, motions, memorandums of law, judicial. No, they won't respond. Not even the appeals court or Supreme Court. They won't respond to nothing.
These folks, man, I'm tired of these folks. Y'all have no idea. I'm so tired of these. The cases that I read cases, I'd be like, man.
Yeah.
Like,
unless you have video where they have beat their ass in the public, you're not getting nothing. That's how I feel.
I have a friend right now
in Wisconsin. He's about to settle with them for probably about $750 to maybe $1 million for his unlawful arrest. You know, but they're still fighting it as if they not done anything wrong. They know they did not have a warrant when they arrested him, but yet they're still fighting it. There's no warrant. And in his case, the prosecutor admitted we don't have no warrant on him. We don't know what that officer was doing. But when the officer called in, the officer said, you have a warrant. He said, no, I don't. And the officer took him anyway. And the prosecutor's office wrote a letter, signed it, dated, notarized it, and said, he didn't have no damn warrant. I said, man, your case is over. So they called him and said between $750 and $1 million. But he said, no, I asked for $20 million.
Oh, he trying to take it to trial then. Okay. He going to take it to trial. The jury might give it to him before trial.
He'll take that. Yeah.
Yeah, the jury might give it to him in punitive damages. He might, like, they might say, well, we're going to give you, you know, $500,000 in compensatory damages. But because of the way that he violated your rights, we want to make an example out of him to make sure he or any of his other officers or colleagues or whatever never do this to you again. So we're going to award you $20 million or whatever in punitive damages to make sure this idiot knows that you can't do this, and everybody who's working with this idiot also knows that they can't do this. That's what they do.
And the thing about it is, you know, when you watch these videos on YouTube, they keep on doing it as if people don't know anymore. That's what messes me up.
People don't know their rights, man. I cannot stress to y'all enough. That is why I'm trying to get this ebook series started, to teach y'all how to sue the police. That is exactly why I'm doing this, because this – y'all don't understand, man. Like, people don't never come to me until they write violate. Like, you're just supposed to know this stuff. Like, you have to know this stuff.
Know something. Yeah.
You got to, man, because they're not going to tell you your rights. You're going to go to court. Please.
They don't have to. They don't have to. And there is also, and you probably are aware of this, a Supreme Court ruling where the Supreme Court said they can lie to you.
Yeah, they can.
I mean, but again, you trust these people, man. You trust them. Yep. And Supreme Court is allowing that?
Yep.
Yeah, but they screwed me over, man. They screwed me over big time.
Yeah, they want to make it a crime if you lie to them, though, a so-called crime. It's against public
policy. You know what? That never even dawned on me. You damn straight. You are absolutely right.
A lot of people don't know that police officers can violate the Fourth Amendment and still get away with it. If they act reasonable.
You see it all the time,
If they call it reasonable, like if they make a reasonable mistake. But if ignorance of the law is no excuse, then why are you giving them immunity? Because everybody's
assuming
the law.
Exactly.
So why are you saying
exactly.
that they are immune? These folks, these folks.
Because in my case, we quoted the Ninth Amendment, the Fifth, the Fourth, the 14th, the First.
Mm-hmm.
They literally ignored everything. They basically said to you, right?
I believe you, man. I promise you.
And
I believe
and because they
you
knew my case was so strong. It was so strong. Yeah.
It don't surprise me. The guy who sued the police in Georgia, I think it was a sheriff or somebody, had locked the building so his process server couldn't get out unless he took back the summons and the complaint. They locked him in the building. They didn't want to let him out the building unless he took back the summons and the complaint because the process server
what
had served in 22. Huh?
Cases is?
The, what is it? Arnold versus Kemp. Arnold versus Kemp.
Oh,
that's a good case, man. He that man know exactly. Dre know exactly what he doing, man. I call him Dre. He know exactly what he, in my opinion, I think he pleads cases better than me. And I think I plead cases pretty good. But I think he pleads cases very good, like very, very good. He understands it. He understands exactly what he is doing. His arguments are on point. He just understands the system. Like, it's not hard. But these people, they'll try to order you to get a mental evaluation.
Yeah.
Like if you come in there and you know what you're talking about.
Exactly.
But if what you're bringing into court is somehow exposing the fraud or what's really going on, they'll try to order you to get a mental evaluation. You
now,
seem like
with my child support case, when they got sued in federal court, okay, the original county that was suing me, okay, they sent me a letter and said, we have no further interest in this case because we're being sued, a conflict of interest.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, yes. They stopped taking the support out of my check,
okay.
Paying $1,248 a month for one child.
That's crazy.
Okay, so
that's excessive.
What they
that's
did
really
was
excessive.
They sent it down. They sent it to a private attorney. And do you know, he turned around and sent it to a county I have never been in my life in Indiana, nor ever stepped in their courtroom. And they started taking the support out of my check again. Then we just found out that they were supposed to have transfer forms filed in the case. They don't have nothing filed in the case. So we're now preparing to sue them for that also.
They transferred it to another corporation. That's what they did.
Exactly.
Are you
kidding me? Yeah. So that's like you being sued for murder, and then you gonna transfer your drug scheme somewhere to other people to keep it going. I'm like, what? But they did, man. They did. They sure did. So I called the clerk's office about a month ago, and I explained to them. I said what they're doing. She said they cannot do that. I said that. No, and Locke, the agency themselves sent the order without any judicial assistance at all. They did it themselves.
You're in an administrative hearing now, so they they're exercising all three so-called powers. They really don't have this authority. I'm not sure if y'all remember.
I know they don't. We also filed in 2019. And 2021 were challenging jurisdiction, and they still arrested me in 2021. So they had those documents on file where I challenged jurisdiction. Anytime jurisdiction is challenged, the case is to stop until
it's
been placed on the record.
That
case kept going.
On the face of the proceedings.
In February of 2021.
Yeah, you're right.
Yep.
Once you challenge it,
so
when they don't have it, boy, they'll ignore it. You know, they act like they don't know what you're talking about, like you crazy and all. That's what they'll do.
Yep.
You're absolutely right.
It's on file now. It's on file now. You can damn sure bet on that. So we will have it all together because that RICO, it's a piece of work to put it together and have all your evidence ready and things like that, because the thing about this RICO is that she's not going to be able to say we're going to cancel this because I think it's frivolous, and then dismiss it before everybody gets served.
This gonna be an this is civil or well, it's got to be civil because you can't prosecute a criminal, Rico. At least I don't think you can in federal court. I don't think you can.
Yeah, because we're also gonna put the child's mom in there too because she received all the payments through electronic transfer. And I even wrote her an affidavit, told her this is illegal. Stop stealing my money.
Boy, you going through it over there, Kenny.
They're not
going to
make me give up, man.
You going through it over there. I'm glad you got some help, though, because they'll wear you out, man. They'll wear you out.
Yeah, they'll wear you down, man. And anybody who's going through this mess, I mean, make sure you have somebody. I cannot stress that enough. And the process service alone will wear you out because I'm having to serve locked. I mean, 8-9 people at any given time. And their process servers charge anywhere from 90 to 110 bucks per person.
Ooh, that's high. That's high.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Just keep your receipts. You should be able to get your, you can get your, you know, you can get reimbursed at the settlement.
Oh, yeah. All that is going back in the settlement. All of it is. All of it is. Yeah, all of it is.
Somebody said Jerome says.
Yeah, I appreciate talking to you, man.
Yeah, no problem, man. No problem at all.
If anybody else is waiting, I'll let them get in.
Now, let me ask you a question before you get out the line, because I've studied it just a little, but I'm very curious about this Title 4D shit. That's what I'm curious about, because these people, they got to have a financial interest in placing you on child support. And in placing...
Well, no. What it is, it's not a financial interest. They try to claim it's from the state. How they can intervene in two ways. If she received government assistance or if there's been abuse in relationship. They claimed in mine they intervened because her and I got into a fight in 2001 when the child was not even born until 2005.
I was watching a video. This was an attorney. Her name is Melissa Isaac or something like that. But she was saying that the state, for every dollar that they spend on collecting child support or something like that, they get reimbursed back. I might be saying it wrong.
No, you got it right. They get back 66 cents on every dollar they spend coming after you. And then they also get 66 cents on the dollar on the arrears also that's sitting there. Then also what they get back is the application fee that they charged when she came in originally. But don't get it twisted. It's not her. It's the state that's suing you, not her. She signed over her rights.
I know it's the state.
The
I'm trying to
sign over her right.
The feds must be paying the state to do so. They doing business. They have to have some type.
Right.
That's interstate commerce.
Yeah, it is. That's why the Supreme Court ruled that it's no different than a debt. So you can challenge the debt also and ask them for verification of this debt. Because I see what kind of computer you got, so I know it does a lot of things. So I'm going to send you a ton of stuff, even all the credit repair stuff, to get it off your credit. I'm going to send you everything locked, everything.
Okay, well, please.
I'm going to send you a ton of stuff that you're going to use in your arsenal against them. Because I can guarantee you, being you on YouTube, if you think for 1 minute locked, they're not watching you, you're crazy. They watch you, I guarantee you.
Oh, I already know
they're watching you.
I already know. They just look. Yep. Whatever you do to me, just make sure you have a lawful purpose, or you ain't gonna like my response. That's all I'm gonna say. So if you watch it, just make sure you have a lawful purpose, or you're not gonna like my response.
Watch.
I promise you to everybody watching.
Every time you go live, they got a button that says click. He went live. I guarantee they do. When I first filed my lawsuit, that very same weekend that I filed it on that Monday, that Saturday, about 1 o'clock in the morning, they drove down real slow past my house, and they never come down my street. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? That they made a circle at the stop sign, came back. There's been drones outside my window, cars speeding off in the middle of the night. But ever since the Supreme Court denied my case and they think it's over, Lot, ain't nothing happened.
Them folks there. Oh, they get on my nerves, bro. But, they
yeah. Send me your email address, man. Send me your email. I'm going to start feeding you all this information. And I'm going to make sure you get it, man, because I guarantee you, you're going to need it. You're going to need it.
Okay. Well, I sure appreciate it. I'm going to put the email back in the chat right now.
Okay.
All right,
okay.
Man. Good luck to you,
okay,
man.
All right.
All right.
Hey, thanks.
Where's the email? Hey, Jerome, if you're listening, Jerome, call in, because I think I saw, let me see, you said something, you think we're doing everything wrong, well, you think pro se's are doing it wrong. I would disagree with that, but you may be right, so I want to hear what you have to say. He says, we pro se are operating wrong, everyone is doing everything wrong, and I think I just figured everything out. So if you don't mind, Jerome, call in. I'm going to read some more of these questions in the chat. Okay, somebody else has their hand up. Caller 6606, you're on the line. How you doing?
Okay. I'm hoping that last caller will call back in, because if he's getting $1,200 taken away from his financial assets for alimony or child support, I'd like to find out if that lawsuit of his is going to win, because that could help out a lot of men who are getting their money stolen from them by women who believe in divorce insurance. So I'm hoping you would keep in touch with you, like he says.
Okay.
Also,
okay.
What I want to know is, you guys were talking about the Supreme Court about 10 minutes ago.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody seems to know about the Supreme Court. You guys, or either you or somebody else, be willing to participate in a debate?
Well, it's really going to depend on what the topic is, because I'm qualified for some topics, and I don't think I'm qualified for some topics, so I don't know. What type of debate?
Well, whatever topic you think would be appropriate for you. I know very little about the Supreme Court, because everybody says that, you know, everybody thinks that they're an expert, you know. So I'd like to moderate a debate between people who, you know, about the Supreme Court.
It seems like you're saying you would like to, like you just said, moderate a debate between a bunch of different individuals on what they know about the Supreme Court. I know a few. I mean, I know one, two, probably about two, maybe three people I can think of off the top of my head who I would think that are qualified. To comment about it, you know, something like that, but I can't really think of anybody else.
Well, you know, let me give you my qualifications for what I think are people who are qualified to know about the Supreme, about the Constitution. Now, everybody's heard about the Federalist Papers. Everybody's heard about the Anti-Federalist Papers. To me, you got to read the Federalist Papers. You have to read the Anti-Federalist Papers. You have to know the private and the public writings of the founding fathers. You have to publish articles in peer review magazines, and you have to have a debate. Otherwise, as far as I'm concerned, nobody knows diddly about the Constitution, because everybody has an opinion about what the Fourth Amendment is, about what Article 18,000 is, but have they really done their homework? You know what I mean? Have they really done their homework?
I know what you mean. I read a lot of cases, and I'm going to tell you right now, man, I don't know shit. I just repeat what the judges say.
Better than everybody else. Well, let me tell you, that's better than everybody else thinking that they're experts.
Because
you know what I mean? The Constitution is supposed to reflect the legalese of yesteryear. Is supposed to reflect the attitudes of the founding fathers. And how do you know what the Constitution is supposed to mean unless you actually read what they said back during those times?
Yeah, that's how they interpret.
So,
That's exactly how they interpret it. So if you want to change, the fundamental law, then you need to amend that constitution. So what I mean by that is, because you can do that. The people can do that all over the country whenever they get ready. They just don't know it, but they can just be like, you know what, this constitution, it's okay, but it just needs some more tweaks to it, because obviously the judiciary just roll these courts. I don't know. Let's just do something about judicial immunity. So we go in, we go change the constitution. We go, look, you only have judicial immunity under these certain circumstances as specified within the constitution, something like that or whatever. You can change the constitution whenever, man. You don't have to go through no amendment, none of that stuff. People just need to come together and be like, look, man, something needs to change. We don't know what it is. But until we figure it out, nobody's going back to work. Nobody's paying any more bills. Like, we need to figure this out, because this is just getting way out of hand, because y'all just think y'all can just do whatever the hell you want, and you can't. You just can't. You can't do whatever the hell you want. I know you would like to, but you can't. You can't do whatever the hell you want.
Yeah, you're not supposed to rule from the bench. You're supposed to interpret the laws as passed by Congress, according to what the forefathers intended the Constitution to be. What I'd like to get rid of is Article 1, Section 8. That's that what I call the weasel clause. That's the general welfare clause. That means the Congress actually can pass any law as long as they deem it's necessary for general welfare. So I'd like to get rid of that.
That's only in their territory, though. They don't have anything, if I'm not mistaken, they don't have any say-so outside of that 10 square miles. All legislation
is that right? Is that right? I didn't know that.
If I'm not mistaken, I've read a case that said that I would have to pull it up. But it's somewhere. I have an ebook that is just comprised of nothing but case laws that I've just discovered over the year, and I just copy and paste them. And there's a word that they use in there, exclusive. I think it said Congress shall exercise exclusive legislation. So if I'm not mistaken, the legislation is exclusively applicable. I want to say what it's
only,
within the
only
square.
In D.C., huh?
Yeah, I'm not mistaken, yeah. If I'm not mistaken, because when you think about it, just consider that as a fact. So if that is a fact, then how are these federal acts applicable to me or you, and we are not within that 10 square miles?
Yeah.
There's some type of nexus that they're using that they're not telling people about. Yusuf says, if I'm not mistaken, he says it's the Social Security number, which would make sense to me, because they created it, and the citizenship, which would be U.S. citizenship, that would make sense to me too, because they created it. I guess we can go down the rabbit hole another day, because we'll be in that hole all damn day, man.
Yeah. Do you know about a guy named Brutu? He wrote a rebuttal to the Article 1, Section 8, way back in 1776, and he was talking about how he feared that language in the Constitution in that particular article could be interpreted or misinterpreted by Congress to give them practically powers of the monarch. So, and that was written by a guy just when the convention was being convened in order to write the Constitution. So he was well aware of the future ramifications of that particular clause. And I didn't read anything in his essay about how it applied to just D.C. But that's an interesting concept. That's something which I would like, actually, if it applied only to D.C. and not to every United States citizen, because what's his name? DeMint of North Carolina, when he was a senator or a congressman, he was talking about how 90% of the laws are passed as a result of the general welfare clause, you know? And when you're talking about things that can or cannot be applicable, how about the a president's executive order? A president is not allowed to make laws. An executive order is only supposed to be his narrative on a law that was passed by Congress, and he's supposed to give his opinion about it. And yet over the years, what happened? It devolved into giving the president the same powers as Congress.
I think people really, really need to study the Constitution, because there's two to three types of court system. There's one that the people created, obviously, to adjudicate their cases, in which there are no statutes applied in there. And then there's legislative courts, in which there's nothing but statutes in there. And somehow we've ended up in all of these legislative courts, or territorial courts, or whatever you want to call it. And I think there's military courts. Yeah, I forgot about those. But anyway, people really need to study, because it seems like there were more than one oath that they are required to take. And it seems like, just from the little cursory review of the research that I've done, because I haven't done deep into it, but it seems like that they're not taking the right oath, or so to speak.
Uh-huh.
And they've pretty much tricked people into their jurisdiction, which is, I mean, you really can't even see it, because it's like it's just not even real. Like territory, they call it territorial jurisdiction or minimum contact. It's one of the two. But you, it's very obscure. Like you can't see it. Like I don't get it. I'm still trying to grasp the concept of it, because they're not really explaining what they are talking about. They're just saying it. And I don't really get it. Uh-huh. I don't know why they're doing that, other than the fact, I guess, would be to mislead people.
Probably,
or something.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say, obfuscation, to mislead people. Did you ever think about the Constitution as a coup?
Wait,
you know, an insurgence.
Oh, well, yeah.
An insurrection.
Yeah, I can see that in the way that it's used. I can see that, for example, the words United States. When you hear, like, that is the perfect name to name a corporation and trick people. United States. Mm-hmm. Because you think they're talking about the United States of America when they're talking about a corporation that represents the United States of America on an international level.
Well, I've heard something about that particular argument before. I don't know much about that. What I mean by it, an insurrection, is that at the time, think about it, 1776, they had the American Revolution. The revolution ended around 1783. Then they had the convention. I think that the Constitution was passed in 1783 or 1786, around there. So the reason why I say it's a coup, you know, like Castro taking over Cuba, et cetera, you know, how revolutionaries perform a coup when they take over a country, is that people don't seem to think or take a look at the timeline. If we declared independence in 1776, right, and we had a constitution in 1783, around there, then who was taking care of America in the meantime? We had the Articles of Confederation.
He brought that up on, I'm sorry to cut you off. He brought that up on his YouTube channel. He was I think it was Franklin Roosevelt, when they was bringing in the New Deal or something like that. And he was like, I think he said there was a senator that said, how are we going to take care of the American people when the American people take care of us, or something like that. And
And he also mentioned the fact that what was – he asked what was the old deal, because I want to know what the old deal was too. You bringing in a new deal. What's the old deal? I think this is what
that
you were talking about.
Yeah. Well, the new deal was just a communist way of using more government functions and increasing the spending. But with the Articles of Confederation, who's the first president of the United States?
Man, I don't know. I know who they say it was, but shit, I don't know.
Okay. Well, the point I'm getting to is that before Washington became the president of the United States, we had the Articles of Confederation. We had 7 or 8 presidents before him. During the war, somebody took over the country in order to stabilize it during wartime. But then after the war was over, right, when the revolution was won, then the Constitution came into being. So who took care of America during the war? It was the Articles of Confederation. So they replaced the Articles of Confederation with this Constitution. So we had, during the wartime, we had a president every year during the wartime. What happened to him? That's what I want to know. They're in Wikipedia. They're in, you can find them online, but you don't get taught that in the history books.
No, you don't get taught
that in history class.
All of this stuff that you're mentioning is extremely important. I've read cases in which when the Supreme Court justices or whatever, when they're trying to ascertain what words mean in the Constitution, they go back and read documents that are over 100 years old.
Well, they should.
Yeah,
They should read. Yeah, they should read the legalese of what pertained to that time.
Mm-hmm.
So, and another thing which irks me is that when they talk about nominating somebody to be on the Supreme Court, and they say, well, he's a liberal or he's a conservative. There should never be a liberal or a conservative. There should only be somebody who takes a look at the Constitution and interprets it according to the way the founding fathers wanted it to be, not according to your particular political bent. And when they start advertising, well, here's a conservative. What are you doing putting somebody that you know is a liberal or a conservative on the bench? If they're going to rule in a conservative way, that's not right. If they're going to rule in the liberal way, that's not right. You rule in a way. You're right.
I was going to say, I think that they should all follow a procedure. Like since they just doing their own personal thing, I think that they need instructions, because they obviously have hidden agendas and hidden motives about whyever they're ruling, that they're ruling. So I think that it's time, in my opinion, for the people to change their constitution, to modify it, and give these so-called Supreme Court justices instructions on how to rule, on how to decide cases or whatever, because obviously they need it, because they just doing what they want to do. They're all administrative agents of the people anyway, and it's not like the people don't have the authority to do that, because they do. All over the country they do.
Well, I'd like to find out how that can get together. And there's another, because people, they're not going to get together unless you're going to a sports stadium or going to a movie or something. But
yeah,
the thing
that's
I was like, right, oh, and yeah, and right about the so-called checks and balances, right? Now, checks and balances to me means that one branch of the government is supposed to not have any conflict of interest. So how come when these Supreme Court justices get on the bench, they have to be ratified by Congress? So if the Democrats are in control of Congress and you have a Democratic president, I think pretty much assured you're going to have a Democratic liberal judge that's going to be appointed to the Supreme Court.
Obviously,
in my opinion.
That's just a lucky guess right there, huh?
Yeah, I just figured maybe, who knows? maybe lucky. Yeah, right? Only
yeah.
by chance.
Yeah.
Well, I'll let you get back to the show, and if I ever come up with a debate, I'll let you guys know and see if anybody wants to participate in it. All right, take care now. Enjoy the
no
rest
problem.
Of your Sunday.
Yes, sir.
Good night.
Nice to see you. All right. Okay, y'all. I got 20 minutes on the lines. If anybody want to call in, let's see. We just quit. No one is talking about arguing about all caps name. I just want to see the rules. Let me go back. I'm sorry, y'all. I was on the phone. I wasn't really reading any questions in the chat. So let me go back a little bit, y'all. Let's see. Oh, Jerome, if you want to, man, if you got time, go ahead and call in. Let's see. Timothy says they do. The feds give grant money to the state, and the state and county contracts together to enforce orders. That's business, man. Timothy, that's business. As a matter of fact, I've read cases where the United States have. It was a case when the United States had bought some property from Kentucky, and I'm like, I'm reading it in the manner that it's being expressed by the court. And the court is expressing it in a manner that shows that there is a distinction between the United States and Kentucky, meaning that they're not the same. They're corporations. There's a couple of cases like that I've seen. Let me see. In Philly in 2021, they reportedly collected $147 million according to their own financial reports. $147 million what, Timothy? Was that is that child support? The court's financial report, Cody Juan Kenobi found it 1960. Is that Frazier versus Cook? What's Frazier versus Cook? I think is that the case where it says that police officers are allowed to lie or something like that? Jerome, 4D is on the federal program that operates in the state. Is the these of us? Right? That's got to be some form of interstate commerce, man, because they're crossing state line, so-called state lines. But everything we seeing and doing is irrelevant. We're actually our impropria persona, not pro se. Pro se grants jurisdiction. A lawsuit is not by formula for remedy, but if we have our common law federal questions, we don't sue. Yes, pro se, pro per, that is irrelevant. If you represent yourself, does that work for you? Let me see. I think the attorney and judge get the money too. Has anyone found evidence? Well, they got to be getting something, because they act like that they get money from this stuff, man. They act like this goes into their retirement or something, man. The Constitution annotated is available online. I think one Congress website is long though. Yeah, there's a book called the Analysis Interpretation of the United States Constitution or something like that. I have a copy of it too. Everyone started education in injunctions. Everyone started education in injunctions. Injunctive relief is good. Small claims is apparently a very good venue. Let me see. Hey, can you call in and let's talk for a minute, Jerome? If you got time, just call in and we can go ahead and chop it up for a little bit, man. We are not to get monetary remedy unless an injunction order has been ignored by the state. Okay, so that must be one remedy. That must be one element. Okay, what is that an element to, Jerome? The challenge subject matter or any of your Bill of Rights you first filed an injunctive on your constitutional questions and case law. Okay. That's starting to make sense. But I would need to know what would you be filing an injunction for. Like, for example, let's say, just to see if I understand you correctly, Jerome. So let's say that you believe that this court doesn't have, its subject matter jurisdiction isn't properly invoked. And since it's not properly invoked and you're challenging it, you filed a motion to dismiss for lack of subject matter jurisdiction and a bunch of made objections to it and so on and so forth, but they still don't want to dismiss it. So you petition for a writ of, let's say a writ of prohibition, which is basically an injunction to stop them from doing something or something like that, if I'm not mistaken. And let's say it's denied. Would then you be entitled to get your money back or something like that? Let me see. It includes DC plus any forts or installations that they implemented. Yeah, that 10 square miles, that territory, if I'm not mistaken. The SSN, but that's not us. We just claim it to be us. Yeah, you're right about that. You can't appeal the Court of Appeals or a Supreme Court, and we only have federal question claims in district court. Some of the codes include the several states, executive orders, or the rules for the branch of government, I thought. Executive orders only apply to the executive branch of government. You are not a member of the executive branch of government. You are a coordinate department of the government. You are, this is what the people are. The people are the supervisors over every branch of government. We are the supervisor. That's what we are. Anytime that these people get out of line and they do something we don't like, we need to be checking them. I haven't read anywhere where it says that people can nullify every Supreme Court decision that they don't agree with. I haven't read that nowhere. But I understand the principle of sovereignty, and I know that the people are sovereign. And I've seen cases where Supreme Court decisions were nullified because amendments were added to the Constitution. That's how you nullify the Supreme Court decision, with an amendment to the Constitution. It's all trickery, minimum contact. Invoking common law is to challenge state law in an injunction claim. This is why the Supreme Court and Court of Appeals are circumvented. Our remedy isn't money, and that's what we are wrong. I would agree with that. I mean, it ain't no money for real. But I'm still a little lost. Let me see if I can get you on the line, Jerome. You probably don't have time to call in right now. We'll have to talk about this another time. Same thing with the name. Why should we, the people, entertain civil law at all? I agree. I want to know how do we get involved into it. They don't want to. They seem to not want to tell people what's going on, and they just want to operate off assumptions and presumptions and conduct and stuff like that. Which I can understand the conduct part, but the assumptions and the presumptions, I ain't really feeling that. I'll send you the court rulings that admitted it's a corporation. Okay, Kenneth, go ahead and send it to me when you get time. How do you differentiate? Let me see. How do you differentiate between a state and a federal name? I'm not really sure I understand that question. Well, I put it out there. If you challenge subject matter jurisdiction, you do it by injunction and bring the lower court to the Fed and have them explain why the Constitution. Okay, I think that's a better strategy right there, Jerome. I think that's a better strategy. But you have to have some type of statutory grounds to do it in a U.S. district court, because a U.S. district court is a legislative court. And I could be wrong, but I don't think that there is any article in the Constitution that would confer original jurisdiction or the authority to issue writs to a legislative court. I don't think there's an article in the Constitution that authorizes that, in the federal Constitution. The corporation argument is irrelevant and not needed. You have the Bill of Rights. Is the federal name First Amendment, blah, blah, blah. This is how you appear in a criminal case. Oh, that is how you appear in a criminal case. The federal name only uses minimum. Let me see. Irrelevant, interesting, irrelevant to your civil law claim, modern Social Security Act, or, man, I'm going to have to go back and read all these. This is a lot of stuff, y'all. Let me see. Rule child support a business. It is a business. Blessings versus Freestone, rule child support is a business. No right to support. I agree with that. Man, look, that Arnold V. Kemp, the guy in that case, litigating that case, he sent me an ebook that pretty much shows you how to get to avoid paying child support only when they have taken custody of your child from you as the father or whatever. Now, I'm not advocating that men should not take care of their offspring. I'm not doing that at all. And I'm not going to help anybody get off child support who's just a terrible father or anything. You don't even call me. Like, nigga, take care of your kids. The fuck is wrong with you? Take care of your responsibility. You tripping, God. Anyway, let me get back here. Let me check the phone lines again. Okay, I got about 8 minutes on the line, y'all. You know, I remember that case law quoted. It was referring to the judiciary, blah, blah. Civil law, they have a tax obligation on all cases. I've heard they're unable to call. Oh, he says unable to call. Why are you at? Oh, he probably at work or something. Lawsuits are totally different from injunctions. I think an injunction is an equitable remedy. So you are in, if you're petitioning for an injunction in federal court, it's quasi-equity because ain't no equity. They don't have equity jurisdiction in there. I don't see it. It's quasi-equity. Injunction. All your claims will be the challenge in federal court as injunctions, not lawsuits. Judges grant injunctions. Federal judges give injunction, not state judges. State judges can do injunctions too. They can do injunctions. An injunction is just like, for example, if I'm not mistaken, an injunction, it only prohibits. As a matter of fact, let me pull up the legal definition for it right now, because I'm working on a writ of mandamus and I'm working on a writ of prohibition right now against a court. Let me pull up the legal definition of injunction. Okay, we are on lawcornell.edu. An injunction is a court order requiring a person to do or cease doing a specific action. There are three types of injunctions: permanent injunctions, temporary restraining orders, and preliminary injunctions. Temporary restraining orders, TRO, and preliminary injunctions are equitable in nature. They can be issued by the judge early in a lawsuit to stop the defendant from continuing his or her allegedly harmful actions. Choosing whether to grant temporary injunctive relief is up to the discretion of the court. Permanent injunctions are issued as a final judgment in a case where monetary damages would not suffice. Failure to comply with an injunction may result in being held in contempt of court, which in turn may result in either criminal or civil liability. So yeah, basically it's generally speaking, it's an equitable remedy. I'm trying to read some more of these comments as I talk about this. State court judges can do injunctions too. They can too. You have to do it under the either the state constitution or some statute, but they can do it. You can file an injunctive release as an original process. No money means only the type of claim a federal judge to take a ruling. Everything is operating according to UCC. Federal judges aren't making rulings on lawsuits, but if it's injunctive, they will because it's your federal question claims and your injunction. Okay, so federal question, I think that's under I forgot which one it was. I'm gonna read it to you right quick, because I was working on a federal lawsuit for somebody out of Texas, and I just finished it up, I think yesterday. I just finished drafting their complaint yesterday. But federal question, I think, would be under 28 United States Code 331. I mean, 1331, I think, or 1343, it's somewhere under 28 USC. I'm not sure which one it is, but it's somewhere in there. Let's see. I would love to read that, man. Read what, Cody? Whatever mentioned
whoever mentioned Blessings versus Freestone, have them do a freedom of request, a FOIA request for the contract that they have with the title. Now, that's a good strategy right there, Kenneth. That's a very good strategy because they got to have some type of contract. Just Google injunction, please. You will understand because there are four remedies, punitive, compensatory, injunctions, and I forgot the last, but even if equity, it's an overturning of state unconstitutional. Your writs will not be entertained. 1331, yes, okay. My bad, I was saying injunctive relief. I meant declaratory judgment are pretty powerful. Yeah, I think a declaratory judgment, you're just asking the court to declare the actions of something somebody was doing was unlawful or something like that. Got 3 minutes on the book the guy gave you with. Oh, okay. Cody. He don't. For some, I don't know. I'll have to ask him because he doesn't want me to give the book out yet. But that is a very, very, very good book, and the argument makes perfect sense to me. He doesn't want me to give it out yet. I'm gonna see if he'll allow me to give it. You know, to email somebody the book privately. Because I asked him when could I do a video on it for y'all on the YouTube channel, on my YouTube channel. He was like, just hold off on that for right now. Just hold off on it. That man know what he doing, man. He know exactly what he doing, y'all. Freedom isn't free. Record arguments and rational for that of the agency. Additionally, courts are prohibited from substituting their judgment for that of the agency. Courts in administrative issues are prohibited. I've read that before. I think that's dealing with administrative agencies. Freedom isn't free, if I'm not mistaken. You can search the contract online. Check your state treasury for the county cooperative agreement. Yeah, they are corporations, man. They are, ain't no money. That's another reason why they are corporations, because they are engaged in they're using commercial paper. That's what they're doing. They're using negotiable instruments. And the Clearfield Doctrine states that they basically ain't no different than a private citizen when they start doing that stuff. My state Supreme Court and Court of Appeals refuse to entertain writs. So your only remedy is federal court or a state torts and insurance. You just going through it over there, ain't it, Jerome? That's what they do, though, man. But I don't know, Jerome. Maybe not to take anything away from what you. Maybe you drafted the writ wrong. Let me ask you this. I'm gonna take that back. Did they ever issue you, like, when they denied your writ? Did they explain to you why it was denied, or they just denied it without an opinion? That's why I say injunctions. But a writ, I mean, it's an injunction. I don't, you know what? I'm gonna do a little bit more research on it. I'm convinced that it's the same thing, though. They denied mine and four others. And four others of same orders. They don't play fair, y'all. They don't play fair. I'm expecting, like, I'm just hoping for the best, but expecting the worst. Anytime I start litigating the case for people, I just hope for the best and expect the worst. Federal court will not overturn a state order. I have a federal opinion, and there is a case law. I think that's the, overall, I believe you're right, Timothy, but I do believe that there may be some exceptions to that. But generally speaking, I think this goes back into the full faith and credit clause in the Constitution on why they won't overturn state court decisions, if I'm not mistaken. This phone about to hang up in a minute, and I already hung up. Let's see. So four other people incarcerated were appealing their conviction. I was only writ of a mandamus. Oh, he said four other people incarcerated were appealing their convictions. One was only writ of mandamus, I think is what you're saying. One was only with a writ of mandamus. Injunction can't overturn state law. Oh, he says injunction can overturn state law. That's my point. Okay, so it sounds like, Jerome, it sounds like you're saying, Jerome, that when they violate the federal constitution, when they violate your rights, you can petition for injunctive relief from that violation under the federal question statute because they violated federal law, something like that. It sounds like that's what you're saying. I was only one with writs, three writs. That makes sense what you're saying. That makes sense what you're saying. So it seems like on the federal level, they're not calling them a writ of prohibition or a writ of mandamus or a writ of certiorari. They're just calling them an injunction or injunctive relief, something like that. Is that what you're saying, Jerome? If that's what you're saying, you still have to do it in a timely fashion because there are statutes involved. And they, if I'm not mistaken, they set up time periods in which you can do this stuff. I expected the Supreme Court to do common law rulings, but they said, nope, not touching. So did you do it under a statute or did you use the Constitution to invoke the original jurisdiction to issue a writ or something like that? Injunction requires no other remedy. I mean, that's the same thing with a writ of prohibition, Constitution and Bill of Rights. Also, if you use the Constitution and the Bill of Rights or whatever, and if you did it right, then you invoke common law jurisdiction. That's the original jurisdiction. That's your court. That notice they don't ever want to touch these cases. When you do it that way, y'all, just notice that they don't ever want to touch them cases. They don't ever want to do that. They want you in this colorable court, in this legislative court. That's where they want you at. I'm so tired of these people. I'm going to look into what Jerome is saying because I have similar issues. Injunction requires no other remedy. Yeah, one element, when you say an injunction requires no other remedy, you mean like an element to get that injunction granted. Is that what you're saying, Jerome? If that is what you're saying, then that is also one of the elements in a writ of mandamus. That's also one of the elements in a writ of prohibition. I'm doing both of those writs right now. On my land claim, my child support claim, and arrested for pleading fifth. Okay, I remember you telling me about that, Jerome. I remember that. No injunctions require no other way to fix your constitutional rights. No alternative remedy. Is that what you're saying? No alternative remedy? Either no alternative remedy or no adequate remedy? Or no other adequate remedy or something like that. Let me go back and let me see if I don't even think I think I might have deleted it out there. I did delete it out here. I did. In Alabama. I found this case, which makes sense. It says a writ of mandamus is the proper remedy to correct a trial court's order erroneously denying a motion to dismiss that is based on lack of subject matter jurisdiction. So what that means is you have to file a writ of mandamus when the trial court has denied your motion to dismiss for lack of subject matter jurisdiction. You have to file a writ of mandamus to get them to do that. And the elements, there's about four elements. I know in Alabama there's about four elements that you need in order to get that writ granted. This is why I say injunctions, because I have done, I've done absolutely everything, Cuzzo. Yes, writs are supposed to fix it, but Supreme Court is corrupt. Yes, no alternative remedy. That's the same. I don't know. You kind of confused me now, Jerome, because that's, and you said no alternative remedy. That's also an element for a writ of prohibition. What I'm trying to get you to understand is, unless maybe I'm wrong or you're wrong, in my opinion, a writ is an injunction. That's what I'm, a writ of prohibition and a writ of mandamus, something like, it's an injunction. Did you try a writ of habeas corpus? Bro, my writs were denied by one sentence used. They said we were not interested. Boy. I believe you, Jerome. I promise you, I believe you, man. I believe you. This is why I say federal court. Yeah, I see what you're saying now. I mean, the feds, they corrupt too, but it just, in my opinion, it just seems like they just maybe less corrupt than the state courts, if that makes sense for y'all. But that's just what it seemed like to me. Because the states, I mean, man, they are trip. Like, what? they are trip. I appreciate it. I hope I get them heard, too. I hate to be pessimistic, but that's just what they've been showing me, that they just do what they want to do. And I know my stuff be good. If I get my writs granted, Jerome, I'll let you know, and I'll get your I'll send them over to your email. That way you can look at them and review them and see the allegations that I made. That makes sense. If you're not asking for money, they'll grant it. I can see that. I can see that. Is that what a writ of mandamus quote up on the community tab? let me see if I understand it. I'm trying to see it. Is that writ of mandamus quote? I can put it, I don't think it's on there right now, Kobe, but I can put it on there. Okay, yeah, just email me yours, Jerome, when you get time. Email it to me. And I'll read over it. The one read. Awesome, thanks. Okay. Give me, the one I just read. Oh, that was a case law. Hold on. I'll put that, yeah, let me put that in the chat. I don't know why I didn't do that. I'll put it in there. I'm going to put it in there. Only state Supreme Court does writ of mandamus certiorari. Well, the Court of Appeals, if I'm not mistaken, they can issue writs of certiorari to and mandamus. Like in Alabama, the circuit court can issue statutory writs to a juvenile court or to a district court or to a municipal court, because that's in a superior court over those other courts, so to speak. And the Alabama Court of Civil Appeals can issue a writ of mandamus or whatever to the circuit court and any of the aforementioned lower courts that I just mentioned, and so on and so forth like that. Appeals only do lower court writs. Okay. Before I leave, because I'm about to log off, y'all, I just need to know if anybody have any questions before I go. Any questions before I go? I'm about to log off. Give me a minute, Kobe. I'm going to add that to the community section for you. Give me a second. I'm going to have to go back on daddy duty, y'all. Supreme Court is for overturn appeals cases or something like that. What is that? Was my other phone. No worries. Thank you for the call. You're welcome, man. You're welcome. Well, I don't see any more questions in here right now, y'all. So I'm going to go ahead and log off. I'm hungry and tired anyway. So I hope everybody enjoys their Sunday. Just keep reading, keep researching. And y'all, please, please help me get these ebooks, this ebook series started on teaching people how to sue the police. Please do, because this stuff got to stop. It has got to stop. Are you available this week? What you mean, like for a consultation, Timothy? Whew, I'm hungry. Give me something to eat. I don't know what I'm gonna eat. If you're talking about for a consultation, okay, thank you, Freedom. Timothy, if you're talking about for a consultation, yeah, you know how we do it. Just either send it cash app or PayPal, however, it doesn't matter to me, whichever method that you're comfortable with. And put your number in wherever you send it from, and I'll call you or I'll text you to schedule a date and a time for the consultation, if that's what you're talking about. I'm tired. The case that I'm suing somebody for in Texas, they got a pretty good case. And I think we're going to get a good amount. A good amount out of that. Let me get on up out of here, y'all. I'm going to get on up out of here, y'all. Everybody enjoy your day, man. Thank you for watching. If you haven't, please hit that like button. I really appreciate that. I want to run something by you if you have the time. Yeah, just we'll set it up whenever, man. Just whenever you can. Don't forget your email. I thought I put the email in there. I'm going to put it in here again, Kenneth. Man, I don't even know if I spelled my email right. I'm so tired. I don't even know if I spelled it right. I probably didn't spell it right. But anyway, my email address is smartloketv@gmail.com. So it's spelled exactly the way it says on my YouTube channel. Let me get up out of here, man. Thank y'all for y'all time. Hopefully I was able to answer some of y'all questions and help y'all. If not, just let me know and I'll try to do it in another way. The Supreme Litigant is out. Everybody enjoy your week and Sunday. Peace.
I kind of, I was trying to hurt you. I hurt you. Fast if I can. After you came to my room, and she told me.
Hurry up, you what?
Clean up my stove.
What
the? What I was doing, Sim.
What you were doing?
Okay, so I grabbed my birthday thing and I was washing it. And then I kind of got my clothes in because it fell down and it got on the table.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I've been washing. My TV was off. And it was quiet, so I just turned my feet back on, so it wouldn't be quiet anymore.
Okay.
And that's it.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay, y'all don't go back in your room.
Okay. I just want to sit there. I'm hungry.
You've been eating peanut butter and crackers all day.
I'm
hungry. What'd you eat?
Mm-hmm.
You ate all the water, man. Go. We ate.
Ah.
Go on, baby. Go get your apple. Wash it off.
Okay.
No apple.
No apple.
Apple. What you good? Cornflakes?
Ain't got no Luke? Give me peanut butter
and jelly. I don't know what I'm going to
say. I knew you were going to say that.
Tell me.
You want peanut butter and jelly,
okay? Okay, let's get the peanut butter.
Why do you put the peanut butter in the refrigerator?
Huh?
Why do you put the peanut butter in the refrigerator? Oh.
I did not
peanut butter. And can you please stop licking off your fork or your knife or whatever and putting it back in the peanut butter jar? I'm not going to eat off you, Drew.
Okay, okay, okay.
Man.
Okay, okay, okay.
Got coolies and everything.
Jelly.
This kind you want?
Me too.
This kind you want? You can make up your mind now.
I want that
tattoo.
You want both of them? Oh, yes, yes. And I also want some peanut butter. Ooh. Okay. Mama, I'm saying mama. Wait, what did I say? Daddy, you know why I help you? Huh? You know why I help you? Because I was turning on. That's why I was watching TV the whole time.
And what you were doing?
I turned the TV on. I hurry up and picked up a MoDad. Then I leave. Then I got on my pillow. Then I started watching. No. I was just paying something for you. Yeah. I just wanted to let you know that I'm smarter than you.
Yeah.
You want some free avenues? I do. It's got a spoon. No. I got 5 more left. Daddy, hurry up and order me some more apple juice.
You better eat all this bread. You better not wait noon. You want one piece of bread or two?
I'll take two.
Alright. Which one? Oh, you say if you want to get
some.
I'll take two. I'm not one piece of bread. You ain't gonna get no 2 feet of bread in the jelly jar because you ain't gonna eat it.
Mama.
You wasted my food.
Thank you. Daddy. You lied on me by going to my grandson's house.
No, I didn't.
You ate your peanut butter, that's it.
Tow it up.
Wait.
Thank.
What you want to watch tonight?
I said,
on that border move? Alright. I'll be ready in about 10 minutes.
You ate your peanut butter and jelly sandwich? You ate it all up.
not, Barbie. No, it's not.
It's not.
I mean, maybe, like, a little.
Yes, I don't know where to start with this wishing of Barbie's life strap.
Oh, Sasha,
listen, I'm just a boring mom with a boring job and a daughter who hates me. Can you blame me for wanting to have a little fun? I gotta leave these chuckleheads. Mom! Hey! I think I owe you ladies an apology. I thought that Barbie had made the real world better, but the real world is forever and irrevocably messed up.
Well, the real world is not perfect, but you inspired me.
Hey! Hey! I love women. I want to help women.
Oh, come on, but everybody hates women. Women hate women and men hate women. It's the one thing we can all agree on.
That's true. It's complicated. Hate is a strong word.
Wake up, Mom!
Mom, why'd you have a shred like this?
There was this guy. Was that?
Yeah, yeah, it was that.
Extremely weird things for our world.
Like what?
Nothing any of our collective imaginations could ever dream of.
A podcast hosted by two wise trees or a choir of 2,000 young fathers.
Not even close. We've got to get to Barbieland. Go, find the plane now. Just pick a direction and run.
I can practically feel my heels lifting already. This is what I was supposed to do for you back here.
It feels right.
Okay, this is...
Barbie, like, have their own house?
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
What do the Kens say?
I don't know.
At first I thought the real world was run by men. And then there was a minute where I thought it was run by horses. But then I realized that horses are just men extenders.
Oh, I have that treehouse. I saved up my allowance to buy it.
I've never seen a car like that before. What happened here?
Everything, basically everything, exists to expand and elevate the presence of men. Beautiful. I know. Barbershop.
What have you done? What are you wearing?
Don't question it. Just roll with it, honey, baby.
Come, baby.
What about mini baby? Like this mini fridge?
No, Ken. This is my dream house. It is my dream house. It's mine.
No, this is no longer Barbie's dream house. This shall henceforth be known as Ken's Mojo Dojo Casa House.
You don't have to say dojo and house and casa.
But you do because it feels good. Try it.
Mojo Dojo.
Mojo, dojo, casa, house.
Give it to me straight. How weird is it? Whoa, boss. These mojo, dojo, casa houses are literally flying off the shelf. The kids are clamoring for them. Kenny's on t-shirts, mugs, the number one tattoo.
Oh, no.
Warner Brothers have started auditions for the Ken movie, which is already a blockbuster hit.
It's happening. A thing we could never imagine. If we don't get my words lady, the assistant, my executive words lady, and someone who's probably your daughter back here and close the portal, our worlds could be altered forever.
But what does it matter if it's Barbie or Ken? The money is pouring in.
Shame on you, executive number two. You think I spent my entire life in boardrooms because of a bottom line? No, I got into this business because of little girls and their dreams in the least creepy way possible. Now blaze faster. Time is running out.
Look. I'm just having some brewski beers in my Mojo Dojo Casa house. I can say if you want, as my bride wife, or my long-term, low-commitment, distance girlfriend. What do you say? Brewski beer me?
I will not brewski beer you.
That's fine. You know, now that you Barbies aren't around to run everything, we can do our hair however we like.
I have hats.
Where are my hungry boys? Who wants snacks? Barbie, I'm so happy to see you. Can you believe what is happening? I know, isn't it great?
Anyone need a brewski beer?
What are you doing? You're a doctor.
I like being a helpful decoration.
And Alan likes to help me give all the Kens foot massages.
No, I don't. I don't like that.
We love it.
I'm so auto-faced day drunk right now. Ditto, same that.
I like not having to make any decisions. It's like a spa day for my brain. Forever. What is wrong with
him? We just explained to them the immaculate, impeccable, seamless garment of logic that is patriarchy, and they crumbled.
Oh, my God. This is like in the 1500s with the indigenous people and smallpox. They had no defenses against it.
Yeah. Cool up, babe. Because Barbie Land is now Ken Land. And it's going to be just like Century City in Los Angeles because they had it all figured out in Century City. The minute you get out of your car, you're like, I can't believe how great this place is.
No, no, no. They don't have it figured out in Century City because we failed them.
No, you failed me. Out there, I was somebody. And when I walked down the street, people respected me just for who I am. One lady, she even asked me for the time.
Way.
If it weren't for these technicalities like MBAs, medical degrees, and I don't know, swim lessons, I could have ruled that world. But I don't need any of those things here. Here, I'm just a dude. And you know what? That's enough. Can't be remembered. Which one is it?
Oh, sad.
Welcome, Mr. Ken, President, Prime Minister, Mayor.
Can't you cap all the amazing changes and innovations thanks to the Ken?
The Nobel Prize in horses goes to Ken!
Wow. And now
now you're making it permanent with a special election to change the Constitution.
That's right. In just 48 hours, all the Kens will head to the polls and vote to change the Constitution. Your government for the Kens, of the Kens, and by the Kens!
You can't do this. This is Barbie Land, the Barbie first part in the extreme part to make it everything that it is. You can just undo it in a day.
Literally and figuratively watch me. Now, if you'll excuse me, this is my Mojo Dojo Casa House. It's not Barbie's Mojo Dojo Casa House. Right? How's that feel? It is not fun, is it?
It's for life!
Every night is boys' night.
Exactly what I thought you were.